Hallelujah. Once again, it was a beautiful time of entering into a time of praise and worship and honoring the Father, honoring the very reason that we're here together this morning. And it's not to hear me. Trust me, this morning, you don't want to hear me. You want to hear the Spirit of God speak this morning. Word of God speak. Word of God speak. That is my prayer. It's my prayer as I prepare the messages for you and for sharing on a Sunday morning is the biggest burden I feel is that the Word of God would speak, that God's Spirit would speak, that I would be able to be out of the picture and the Spirit of God would speak this morning. And I recognize that for all of us, that can be a challenge in one way or the other in life is to hear the Word of God spoken, to hear God speak to us. So I'm going to continue a little bit this morning, some more on the Holy Spirit and recognizing again that all that I say or anything that I do has no value if the Spirit doesn't interpret it to you. So I recognize that this morning, so I invite the Spirit to speak to each and every one of us as he sees fit, to lead in whatever way that he sees fit. You can turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. We'll look at a verse there, and then we'll look at some verses in Titus. But I titled the message this morning, Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. And I believe this morning that every one of us here in this room this morning would love to understand completely what does it look like to walk in the Spirit. You know, we have a lot of scripture that speaks to us, and I believe that the scripture is good, it is pure, it is holy, it is just, and from it we can find life and we can walk in it. So looking at Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to look at verse 25 to start with. It says this, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And probably to most of us here this morning, we know exactly what it means to live in the Spirit. We have been born again, washed in the blood, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, born again, experienced the Spirit of God coming into our lives through the rebirth. And we know what that means. We know what that feels like. We recognize that. And for all of us this morning that have received the Spirit of God, have been born again, I want to assure you this morning that before we take one more step into this sermon, that the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Spirit of God dwells in you. When you become saved, the moment that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and you acknowledge your need for Him, you repent of your sins, the Spirit of God comes and dwells inside of you. So then the verse says, if we live in the Spirit, we are alive in the Spirit. You and I are alive in the Spirit. If we are alive in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And so one thing I don't want you to miss this morning is that you received the Spirit by faith in Jesus Christ. And the same thing applies to walking in the Spirit. We walk in faith the same way. It's not complicated, okay? So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? If I were to ask every one of you, what does it mean to you to walk in the Spirit? What does that look like? What does it mean to you to walk in the Spirit? What does it look like to walk in the Spirit? And when do we walk in the Spirit? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What does it look like to walk in the Spirit? And when do we walk in the Spirit? So the last two sermons that I preached, the first one beginning with the Holy Spirit and what the work of the Holy Spirit is, we saw in John 16 that it is to lead us into all truth. He is the work of the Spirit is what works within us to teach us and lead us and guide us and direct us. And then I preached a sermon on the unpardonable sin, recognizing that there is a place and a time where we can rebel against the Spirit to the point where there is no return. And so I believe that those things are true. And this morning, as we get into the sermon here, just hold your place in Galatians, but turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, says this, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." What is the grace of God that brings salvation? It's His Spirit has appeared to all men. In verse 12, "teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort, rebuke with all authority, and let no one despise you," is what Paul concludes here in these verses to his instruction to Titus. But I wanted to point out a few things here, recognizing again and appreciating the fact that God gave us His Spirit to lead us into salvation and also to lead us into purity and to live a life as such. So the Holy Spirit teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That's what the Spirit does. He teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We see here in verse 12. And in verse 13, he leads us to look for the glorious appearing and the great and God's and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us. So the Spirit redeems us. And the Spirit, then looking in that same verse, it says that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people. We are His special people. That He would give His Spirit to live in us, to dwell in us. As we look back here at the sermon in John chapter 16, where Jesus said, "It is better that I go, that the Spirit can come and dwell within you." So for all of us here this morning that have ever in our lives have said, "I wish that I could speak to God. I wish that I could talk to Jesus. I wish that Jesus would be here, that I could ask Him a question." Well, I have news for you this morning. He's here. Hallelujah. He is here this morning. He is here with you. He is here with me. He is in us. He dwells in the Spirit of God, God dwelling in you through the person of the Holy Spirit. That's God in you. That's Jesus in you. He is in you. And the thing that He wants most of all is for you to give it. We recognize that we need Him for salvation, but what He wants more than anything is that you will give Him lordship. That you will make Him Lord, that He will be what you will desire. He will be the one that you want to follow. It will be His voice that you want to hear. You see, we get so full of ourselves. We groom ourselves and we make ourselves look good and we do all those things and we become so full of ourselves that the Spirit cannot even speak or work. So what is inside of you is what comes out. And the Spirit of God dwells in you. But when we get full of ourselves, we can't. Let me tell you a little story just to illustrate that. So Louis got extremely sick. A couple weeks ago, Louis almost died. We didn't know what was going on. Louis was sick. He was not eating for a week and more. He laid around. You could pick him up. He was just limp. And one time, he likes to drink at the bird bath, so I thought, well, I'll take him to the bird bath and hold his head there, see if he'll drink water. Well, he wouldn't drink the water, and after a while, he lets out this wretched groan or whatever. So I took him inside in the laundry and laid him there on the floor, and he just flopped limp on the floor. And we went away. I thought, when we come home, this is going to be all over. And we got home, and it wasn't. I mean, he was still there. That was Wednesday night. And then Thursday, I went to Byler's, and as I was leaving Byler's that night, I kind of made up my mind that it's time to put Louis out of his misery. And so as I was leaving Byler's, I called Karen, and Karen said, "You're not going to believe this." He just stood up, he went to the litter box, and he passed some unearthly things. And he went and drank some water, and today Louis's doing well again. But I think it appeared like a lot of it was hair, a hairball or something. I don't know. We took him to the vet. The vet didn't know what to make of it, and he said, typically a dog, he would think it was something that he ate that got plugged up in him. A cat usually doesn't do that. They usually are able to bring a hairball up and that kind of thing. And anyway, so he went to the litter box and passed whatever was plugging him up, and he's a good, healthy cat again. And my thoughts were this. He sat around grooming himself, and he plugged himself up with himself, that nothing good could come out. Isn't that what we do sometimes? We sit around trying to fill ourselves with good. We try and sit around, we groom ourselves. So Louis sits around, he grooms himself, and you know, he takes a lot of hair in. He gets a lot of himself that plugs himself up. We do that. And God is saying simply, you need to get over yourself. You need to get over yourself because I want to lead you. I want to groom you. I want to make you look good. I want to be the one. I want to be the one that makes you look good. And I can't do it as long as you're doing it. So the desire to walk in the Spirit is right and it's good. But we have to surrender completely. Surrender completely to God's leading for that. Romans 6:12 says, "Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts." Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let me read that verse again, because there is nothing greater than to understand this morning. I want to share with you this morning. I want you to get it. I want you to understand that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk according to the Spirit and not the flesh. Hallelujah. In this world that wants to heap condemnation on people, this world that wants the enemy, Satan, so desperately wants to heap condemnation on you this morning, as if there's not enough to get up in the morning and know that there are a lot of things that you will face today that will not work out according to the way that you want them to. And you know, going to bed the night before, that you already know that there are things in your life that are not working out, that you have no answers for, and then add condemnation to that. That's a burden more than we need to bear. That's a burden more than we should bear. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. This is not written to everyone. This is written to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is no condemnation to those who don't walk in the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. And we all recognize that the Bible is full of things, as I said earlier, for full of instruction that to give us and how to walk and how to pattern our lives after Jesus. And we want to do that. But there's only one way that we can really, truly do that. I can hang laws on your neck. They will mean nothing. The Bible is full of instruction. The Bible is full of doctrine. But until I yield myself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it means nothing. I can't do it. I can't do it until I yield myself to the complete Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that through the working of the Holy Spirit, then I am able to do the things, and we'll get into the scripture here in Galatians and we'll read it, and we'll look at what it looks like to be in the flesh and what it looks like to be in the spirit. And so how do I walk in the spirit? So beginning at verse 16 of Galatians 5, Paul says, I say then, and I pondered that. I looked over that. I was wondering, why is he say that I say then? And I think some of it is connected to verse 14. It says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And I recognize this morning, and we all do, all of us that are sitting here this morning, recognize the power, the strength of the flesh and the lust thereof. We know what it is. So I have a bit of an intolerance to gluten. I've discovered that through Karen having celiac disease, and we went on a gluten-free diet. And I recognize that not eating gluten is good for my body, for me. I'm not telling you that's what you have to do. It's good for me, okay? So I understand that. I understand that gluten, when I oversaturate myself with gluten, and gluten, by the way, is simply wheat and barley, that kind of thing. I won't get into all that, but what is with it is noodles and any kind of pasta and pizza and that kind of thing. And so had the grandchildren over here a week or so ago, 2 weeks, something like that, but I wonder what they want for supper. And I made the decision to get them a pizza for supper. A large pizza, very delicious. I ate a couple of pieces of pizza. I knew that I shouldn't. But in my flesh, I wanted a piece of pizza. You see, the flesh. How do we overcome the lust of the flesh? Not that it was anything spiritual. I'm just sharing with you the strength of the flesh. There are things that we blame on Satan that are simply our flesh giving itself. So going on in verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, and it goes on with a whole list of other things. But recognize this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like to walk in the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are evident. They're evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they are not walking in the spirit. They are walking in the flesh. And the way that we overcome the flesh is with the spirit. So, not that complicated. And it goes on and says, but the fruit of the Spirit, so this is what it looks like. And then we'll get to the question of how do we do this? So this is what it looks like. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And I thought about how the works of the flesh are really, a lot of the works of the flesh are against other people. So he talked about loving your neighbor as yourself. So how do you do that when you're actually living in the flesh? When you're living in the flesh, then you will fulfill, you will do these things, idolatry, works of adultery. The Spirit will never lead you into adultery. The Spirit will never lead you into fornication. The Spirit will never lead you into uncleanness. The Spirit will never lead you. And you can go on through the whole list and how these things, when they are practiced, whether it becomes detrimental to me and also to the people around me, to the people that are around me, they also are affected by these things. But when I walk in the Spirit, once again, it affects me. and it affects you. And so you, for all of us, when we're practicing walking in the Spirit, and this is what it looks like, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And all those things, they benefit me and they benefit you. So when you're walking in the Spirit and I'm walking in the Spirit and together we walk in the Spirit, then we have the benefit of being able to enjoy each other and to enjoy fellowship with each other as we walk in the Spirit. Romans 8, 11 through 14 says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So how is it that we put to death the deeds of the body? For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. In 1 Peter 2:11, it says, beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So how do I know? How do I know if I'm being led by the Spirit or being led by the flesh? And I know that all of us have at one time or another have asked that question. How do I know if I'm being led by the Spirit or being led by the flesh? And one of the things that I assure you that as you grow in learning to hear the Spirit of God speaking to you, it will become clearer all the time. It will become more clear for you to know that you're hearing the Spirit and not your flesh. First thing, what does your mind seek after? In knowing if I'm led by the flesh or led by the Spirit, what is your mind fixed on? Is your mind fixed on the things of this world? Is your mind fixed on the things of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh? And what is your mind fixed on? Where do you have your mind centered? Is it about getting more and becoming better and all those kinds of things? What's your mind set on? Are you filling yourself with self and plugging yourself up that the Spirit can't move through you? So what is your mind set on? Or is your mind set on the favor of God, looking for the goodness of God, looking for what can I do to serve God? How can I please God? What is the drive? What is my mind? Where is my mind at? In Proverbs 23:7, it says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Which way do your thoughts move with most pleasure? Do they go to pleasing? Do you spend a lot of time? So what, when you have some time alone, what do you think about? What do you think about? You think about where could I invest more money? How could I make it work better? Or do you think about, wow, if I'd get a hair implant, you know, nobody would see this spot anymore. And I don't know. I'm saying, what do you think about when you have time to think? Do you think about God? Do you think about the Spirit? And I'm not saying that we should just sit around all the time and not think of other. But where does your mind bend? Where does it go? Which way does it go? Where does your mind go? Carnal souls are miserable souls. Let me say it again. Carnal souls that are seeking after the flesh, that are being led by the flesh, are miserable souls. But to be spiritually minded is a life of peace, happiness to the soul. A sanctified life is actually a comfortable life. And do not misunderstand my words. It doesn't mean that you will in this flesh not have trouble, trials, testings, and all those things. But there is something in you, and it says it here in Galatians, it says that you are long-suffering. When the Spirit of God is present, you're long-suffering. When the Spirit of God is present, there's peace. When the Spirit of God is present, there's joy. And so I ask you this morning, reflect on your life. Reflect on what God is doing in your life, and reflect on how you have found in your walk. Have you yielded to the voice? Have you yielded to the voice of God and being led by the Spirit? Are you being led by the Spirit? Because if you're led by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can put all kinds of things around you, and rightly so. There are things that we do that are good, but without being led by the Spirit, they become nothing. Not that we shouldn't do these things. These things are good. They're right. But being led by the Spirit. Walking the Spirit, then, may I submit to you, is not complicated. You don't need to be a theologian. You don't have to have a degree in theology to understand what God wants for you. Hallelujah! You don't need to be educated, have a degree in theology. You don't need to have all these things. It is quite simple. It is simple for the child to understand. It is simple for the child to do. I believe that with all my heart, that once we become yielded to, once we yield our spirits, once we give lordship to, once we give the house to the master, then we will walk being led by him, and then only then. When we yield up our spirits and say, God, I can't do it. I will only do what you tell me to do. I will only follow you and walk with you. Walking in the Spirit is simply being governed by and completely in surrender to. The Spirit will never lead you into the lust of the flesh. The Spirit is always warring against the lust of the flesh. The Spirit will not lead you into the lust of flesh. The lust of the flesh, when you have made provision for it, the Bible says, when you have made provision for it, let me just say this. Do not expect to walk led by the Spirit when you have made provision for the flesh to fill the lust of it, to fulfill the lust of it. Don't expect to walk in victory when you have said an evil thing before your eyes. Don't expect to walk in victory when you have made provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Psalms 101:3 says, I will set no evil thing before my eyes. I realize this morning that there's so much available. But I can't walk in the Spirit. I will not expect to be led by the Spirit when I've made provision for the flesh. If indeed God would have told me, if indeed it would have been a spiritual thing to not eat pizza, the last thing I would do is get a pizza and bring it into the house and put it on the table, if it were indeed a spiritual thing. Do I make sense this morning? If you're going to be led by the Spirit, don't make provision for the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And I want to assure you this morning that there is no greater peace than to know that we have accepted Jesus Christ by faith. And we are able to walk in the Spirit by what? By faith. By faith, believing. By faith, believing that God will lead you. And one of the things that I think we have to understand, first of all, and come to grips with is that the Bible, the Word of God, is full of promises to you and I that God gives to us. And if we're going to walk in the Spirit, we need to embrace those promises, the promises that are given to us, not given to other people. There are some things, there are some promises in the Word that I believe that people are taking out of context that we're not given. But the promises that were given to you and I to walk in, embrace them and say yes to them. Say yes to them. Because it is as we walk in the Spirit, as we're led by the Spirit will never lead you contrary to God's Word. The Spirit will never lead you contrary to God's Word. If we're being led by the Spirit, then you need to have safeguards in place. And one of the safeguards is to hear the Spirit, to listen and to be assured that it is the Spirit of God that you're hearing from, is to look to the Word of God, to read the Scriptures, because the Spirit of God will never contradict what He has already spoken and written. Amen? So that's a safeguard that you can know that if you're ever hearing, and some of us may be the place where we, and I've done this in the past, I could write a book of the times, the wrecks that I've made out of thinking it was God leading me and then finding out that I was moving on my own. And I was reminded of the children of Israel as they were in the wilderness, and the cloud that led them by day and the fire that led them by night. And as the cloud moved, they moved. As the fire moved, they moved. But when they stopped in the wilderness, when the cloud stopped and it came down and hovered over the temple after the temple was built, or tabernacle. So the cloud would stop. And you know what? It's a beautiful picture of how the Holy Spirit is trying to lead us. The Holy Spirit will give you direction, will lead and guide you. And the children of Israel did not step outside of that there. When the cloud stopped, they stopped. When the cloud moved, they move. When the Spirit moves, you need to move. When the Spirit stops, you need to stop. And stop moving outside of the Spirit. And hear from God. Listen to His voice. And say yes to His commandments. Because He wants to lead you. He will guide you. And one of the things I find interesting is this, that in the Scriptures here, and I lost the reference for it, I have it written down. The Son, okay, it's John 5:19. The Son can do nothing of Himself but what He seeth the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doth the Son likewise. He also says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And again, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. So I think it's important that we recognize that even our Lord Jesus did not operate outside of the moving and the instruction of the Father. And we have the account given where towards the end of the journey there in the wilderness, where the children of Israel decided to move out from and under God's leading. They went up against the enemy, and Moses told them they're going to run up against bees, as you will. And I don't know if it was exactly bees or what it was, but that was what they found as they went up, as they went out on their own and tried to conquer the enemy. They were met with a beehive. I'm here to tell you this morning that if you're trying to conquer your flesh, if you're trying to conquer the flesh outside of the leading, the direction, the God-given spirit, the faith to believe that God will make it possible for you. If you're trying to operate outside of that, you're going to meet a beehive. It will come back on you. But when we recognize and by faith believe that God is able to bring us to be the people that he wants to be, to purify us. That's what he says, that he wants to purify us. He wants to lead us to be a people that are pure. And in order to do that, we need to learn how to walk in the Spirit. We need to learn how to walk in the Spirit. So, is it difficult? It's not. Not once we learn to hear the voice of God and yield ourselves to it. Yield ourselves to it. Giving honor to him, allowing him to lead us, allowing him to be the one that will change you, will purify you, it will make you a perfect bride for him. So let's stand together. I've chosen to have Jim lead us in a song for closing here. And you can turn there. It's song number 699. Familiar song. Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into thy holy likeness to grow, thirsting for more and deeper communion, yearning thy love more fully to know. Recognizing this morning that this is a commitment. As you sing this song, I want this to be a commitment. Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into your holy likeness to grow. I'm longing for that. I want that, Lord. When you're singing these words this morning, that's your commitment to him. Dead to the world would I be, O Father, dead unto sin and alive unto... Crucify all the earthly within me, emptied of sin and self may I be. I would be thine and serve thee forever, filled with thy spirit, lost in thy love. Come to my heart, Lord. Come with anointing, showers of grace, send down from above. Beautiful words. Let's pause and ask the Father to anoint our singing. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to open your word and to be encouraged and challenged this morning. Father, I pray that you would teach us to walk in your spirit, led by you. It is the only way, Father, that we want. It is what we want, and we want to do it to your honor and to your glory. Father, I pray that as we go out from this place today, Lord, that you would receive the honor, that you would receive the glory, and that you would be lifted up and exalted. In Jesus' name, amen. Jim?